You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
So today I want to lay a foundation to help you get the most out of this series in Proverbs. Next week we're really going to dig into it. But I really want to just lay some foundation. So I want to invite you to take some notes. I'm going to do something a little bit different. Most of you, if you're regular to Redemption, you know I'm more of a preacher. But today's going to be kind of a teaching to help set the foundation for Proverbs. So I want to invite you to take some notes. When you came in, you should have received some note sheets. Or if you have the Redemption app on your phone, you can get that at our website. There's a spot where you can take notes. And so I want to encourage you to take some notes. We're going to talk about the what, the why, and the how when it comes to Proverbs. So here's the first part, what the Proverbs are. And I would invite you to put this in your notes. I want to give you some keys to understanding the book of Proverbs. What are the Proverbs? What is a proverb in the biblical sense? Well, it's a short sentence of wisdom. The biblical scholar and professor Dr. James Crenshaw puts it this way, a proverb is a sentence founded on long experience containing a truth. I love that. A short sentence founded on long experience containing a truth. Think of the Proverbs like the ancient version of Twitter. A proverb is like a tweet. It's this short statement that's pregnant with truth. And so the Proverbs are actually part of what we call the wisdom tradition, the wisdom literature of the Bible. You think of other books like Ecclesiastes or Job. Those are all part of the wisdom tradition of Scripture. And traditionally, it's attributed to King Solomon. Some of the Proverbs are attributed to King Solomon. But a better way of thinking of it is that it's a collection of collections of wise sayings written by several different authors. And it speaks to various aspects of our life, of our values, of our moral behavior, of righteous living. So that's kind of what the Proverbs are about. Now, let's talk about some of the challenges that we face in reading the Proverbs. We have to remember that the Proverbs have an ancient context. They were written in a different time, in a different place. Now, surprisingly, the Proverbs are amazing in that they're relevant to our lives. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. But you do need to be aware that they were written in a very different time and place. So every now and then, we're going to encounter some things that aren't so familiar to us. The other thing is, people tend to think of the Psalms being poetry, but the Proverbs contain poetry as well. In fact, much of the Proverbs are comparisons, analogies, metaphors, similes, all these comparisons. So you have to kind of put your poetic mindset in place when you begin to read the Proverbs. Another thing you'll see is a lot of parallelism. I'm going to give you an example here. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 4 through 5 says, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be just like him." Verse 5, "Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes." Well, you say, which one is it, Pastor? Am I supposed to answer a fool or not answer a fool? Yes, it's both. It's both, okay? So this is a literary device, and the whole point is in this example, like, you know, if you answer a fool like a fool, you're going to be foolish, but sometimes you got to set a fool straight. So it's making a point. So we don't read the Proverbs strictly just word for word. You got to bring a little interpretation to it. So just be aware of that, okay? That's the what. Now let's get into the why. Why we should read and meditate on the Proverbs. Why are the Proverbs a good place to begin this new year? Why are they a good place to kind of build a foundation for 2019? Well, let me give you some ideas for why we should read and meditate on the Proverbs. Here's the first one. Number one, Proverbs gives us a godly basis for wisdom. If you're taking notes today, put that in your notes this morning, okay? This is the why. This is why we're going to go to the Proverbs. Number one, Proverbs gives us a godly basis for wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, probably the most famous verse in all of Proverbs, says this, "For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What does fear of the Lord mean? Does that mean I'm going to be terrified of God? Does that mean I'm supposed to live in fear of God? I thought God was a God of grace and mercy. No, the fear of the Lord actually means the reverence of God. To fear God is to live in reverence to God. It's to submit to His will. It's this sense of, God, I want every part of my life to honor you. God, I want my will to be submitted to your will. It's loving God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. It's living with this sense that my life is an act of worship, an act of reverence to God. And the Proverbs tell us that this is actually the beginning of wisdom. You know, we live in an information age, don't we? We can Google anything. Aren't you thankful for Google? Come on, do you remember back to the dark ages? What did we do before Google? We were like cavemen just lost in this world. But now you can, it's amazing. You can Google anything. But how many of you have discovered that not all sources are equal, right? Like you have a problem, you have a medical condition. Come on, before we call the doctor these days, we Google it and we diagnose ourselves. Half the time we screw it all up, but we Google ourselves. You have a problem, something's broken in your house, you want to Google how to fix it. How many of you have discovered that not everything that comes back in Google, not all of the sources of information are equally valid, right? Like you get something by somebody who's just crazy. Like, what is this person talking about, right? And then you have something else that's really helpful. Then somebody else, you know, on there gives you advice that turns out to be terrible advice. They're just dead wrong because it's all about knowing your source. It's right. There's all kind of information out there. There's no shortage of opinions, but you have to know the quality of the source. Think back about your school days when you were, you know, in high school, especially in college, right? You think about when you had to write a research paper or you had to write an essay. Your professor expected you to have some scholarly sources in your paper, right? They might say, I want you to quote so many sources, and you couldn't just quote anybody. They wanted you to quote, you know, scholars and professors and academics, and you had to quote from books and articles and journals written by you know, respected people because the quality of your source mattered. You couldn't just go quoting your cousin Vinny and put it in your research paper, right? You couldn't go on Wikipedia, where anybody can write anything, and put that in your essay. Your professor expected you to quote some reliable sources. You know, how many of you know that an article from the Harvard Medical Review carries a little bit more weight than some blog written by someone without a medical degree, right? It's a little more weight to it. I hate when people send me some article on theology written by some half-baked, crazy theologian who has no, like, they're not rooted in, like, Christian orthodoxy and, like, biblical literacy, because I evaluate the source. Like, where is this person coming from? And so you got to know the source of your wisdom. You got to know the source of your wisdom. And here's what Proverbs tells us. Proverbs tells us that it's the fear of God. It's the reverence of God. That is the beginning of true knowledge. And the same word there in that phrase, beginning, in Proverbs 1:7 is actually the same word used in the book of Genesis. Think about in the beginning, God created. Think about this word Genesis, right? It's a book of origins. You can't understand the rest of the Bible until you have some working knowledge of the origins of this God story. Think about that same word. What is the origin of your knowledge? What is the genesis of your knowledge? See, if you've got a bad source of wisdom, it leads to you making some bad decisions, doesn't it? If you got a bad source of wisdom, you may end up with a bad way of seeing the world. If you've got a bad source of wisdom, you may end up with a faulty, bad moral compass. So we want to make sure that the source of our wisdom is the Word of God, the wisdom of God, because there are a lot of sources of wisdom out there. Oh, there's the wisdom of Oprah. Oh, there's the wisdom of Lady Gaga. There's the wisdom of your yoga instructor. There's the wisdom of your friend who lives down the street. And all of those things are nice. I'm not saying those people are bad, but there's a difference between the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God, the inspired Word of God. And I think the problem is sometimes in our lives, we just got too many sources. We got too many sources of wisdom. I've said this before, but a lot of times people come to me for help, for spiritual advice, or they need prayer. They need direction. Pastor, can you help me? I'm going through a difficult season, and I'm happy to help people. But often what I tell people early on in the conversation is, you know, if you're coming to me for help, but you have like five or six other people telling you what to do, this probably isn't going to work so well. And that's not because I'm a controlling person, but I know you got to cut down on the sources. Are you with me? And so I'll say, listen, you know, I'm happy to be the voice of your pastor in your life. Maybe you want to get another believer in your life who really loves you, who prays for you. Maybe, you know, if one of your parents is a believer, somebody like that, and you need to get the Word of God in your heart, in your mind, because sometimes we just got too many sources. We got too many people speaking into our lives. And come on, we've all discovered, like Google, not all the sources are equally valid. Not all the sources are equally worth listening to. And sometimes we get competing information, and we treat some sources like they're equal. Like we'll take the Word of God and we'll put it even with what somebody, some celebrity said, or some book we read, or some some blog we read. I want to tell you that the wisdom of God, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the fear of the reverence of God, that is your basis. That is the source above all sources. And so Proverbs helps us to prioritize that. It helps us to lay a foundation for our wisdom. Here's the second thing. We're talking about why. Why meditate on the Proverbs? Why use this as a foundation for our new year? Here's the second thing. Proverbs gives us wisdom that has stood the test of time. Wisdom that has stood the test of time. You know, as I said a moment ago, I think we all know there's a lot of wisdom out there. There is no shortage of opinions, of voices, of wisdom. Like, everybody is a self-proclaimed expert these days. Have you discovered this? Like, anybody can start a blog. Anybody can start a YouTube channel. Anybody can publish, like, an ebook these days. There are all of these self-proclaimed, like, life coaches and life experts who want to tell you how to live your best life. There's no shortage of advice. But how many of you know that there's a difference between the wisdom of this age and wisdom that has stood the test of time? Like, you and me, we don't have time. Like, life is precious. We have too many important decisions to make. I don't know about you. Nobody has time to get advice from someone who doesn't really know what they're talking about and screw it all up. Anybody with me? Ain't nobody got no time for that. Are you with me this morning? Nobody's got time for that foolishness. We need wisdom that has stood the test of time. Thomas Jefferson put it this way. He said, in matters of style, swim with the current. In matters of principle, stand like a rock. You think about this, Thomas Jefferson's time and style has come and gone, but the principles that he believed in have shaped this country and are still in force to this day. In matters of principle, stand like a rock. Why is that? That's because most principles that are worth building your life on, most principles that are worth laying a foundation to your life, they're like a rock. They're rock solid. They're principles that have stood the test of time. Can I tell you that Proverbs, this is wisdom that was cultivated and curated over thousands of years. And for thousands of years, the people of God, Jewish people, Christian people, wise people have relied upon this wisdom for thousands of years. The prevailing wisdom of this culture is not the same thing as the time-tested ancient wisdom of God's word that has stood the test of time. Okay, now all truth is God's truth. I'm not somebody who's, you know, for going to war with science and philosophy. And listen, wherever you find truth is God's truth. God is the creator. Never be afraid of truth. But what I'm talking about here is kind of this prevailing wisdom of the, it's fleeting wisdom. I'll give you an example. Like, every now and then I go in CVS to pick up a prescription. And I always see the magazines on the rack, and you see them there too, right? Like Cosmo and Allure. And you always see these articles like 10 ways to really find love this year, right? 10 ways. Because 10 is like the magical number, like written by somebody in some office somewhere in Manhattan who's never experienced real love before. But they're going to tell you how to find true love in 2019. Come on. You want to know, listen to me, young people who want to find love. Some of you want to find love. You want to know a better source of wisdom? Go sit down with your grandmother who was married for 50 years, who loved her spouse, your grandfather, through the Great Depression, who raised kids, who worked hard, who's been through the ups and downs and came out on the other side, and they still loved your grandfather faithfully for like 50 years. Come on, that's timeless wisdom. That's worth listening to. Just go sit with them, get your phone out, and be like, Grandma, download some wisdom on me about true love. And you will learn. That's why? Because that's wisdom that has stood the test of time, right? There's a difference between the fleeting wisdom of this culture and wisdom that has stood the test of time. And see, much of the wisdom of Proverbs is actually based in experience. How many of you have described how many of you have discovered that experience is the greatest teacher? Experience is the greatest teacher. Come on, if you're hiring someone, education is wonderful, but you're going to pick experience over education probably any time. Now, you'd like to have somebody who has the education and the training and the experience, but if you have to pick one, we all know that experience is the greatest teacher. And much of Proverbs, as you read it, you'll begin to see it's wise people who observe life, who learned from life, and they shared their experience with others. You know, you can either learn from your mistakes or someone else's mistakes. I'd like to learn from the latter category, somebody else's mistakes. Look at this. Proverbs chapter 1, Verses 8 through 9. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. See, there's an example. It's parental wisdom. Wisdom, the wisdom of the ages that's been passed down to the people of God. This is time-tested wisdom, right? This is the difference between like your parents' wisdom and your friends' wisdom when you were a kid. Come on, any of you ever had like your parents told you one thing, like, and then your teenage friend told you something else, and you actually went with your friend's advice instead of your parents? Yeah, how'd that work out for you? My parents used to say stuff like, my dad used to say stuff like, nothing good happens after midnight. And I was like, nothing? Like, nothing good happens after midnight? And as I look back now at my teenage years and my college years, yeah, he was pretty much right. I made a lot of bad decisions after midnight. If I had to weigh the good and the bad, probably more bad things happened in my life after midnight than good things. There's the wisdom of the time-tested wisdom of the ages versus the fleeting wisdom of our culture. So Proverbs, this is wisdom. This is the wisdom of people who have walked with God and lived good lives. Live good lives. Come on, everybody, we want to have, how many of you want to have your best year in 2019? Anybody? How many of you want to have a better 2019 than 2018? Come on, you can clap for that. It's all right. Listen, we need to go to the one of the beautiful things that happens when you open scripture, sometimes you get the dialogue with the people of God. And Proverbs is a record of the people of God who sought his wisdom, people who lived good lives that can inspire you and me to lives of wisdom. Here's the third thing. Proverbs gives us practical wisdom that speaks to our lives. We're talking about why. Why are the Proverbs worth reading in a world where we can read anything and everything? You can buy any book this year. You can download anything. You can read whatever blog, listen to whatever podcast. Why are the Proverbs worth digging into and meditating on? Here's the third thing, is Proverbs gives us practical wisdom from a godly perspective that speaks to our lives. See, it's amazing how, although Proverbs is ancient wisdom, how relevant it is for our lives today. You know, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says that the word of God is active and alive. You ever read that scripture? It says it penetrates our hearts. The amazing thing is when you open scripture, you're invited into a story. You're invited into something that's alive. And the amazing thing is by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the scripture literally says that the scriptures are God-breathed. What happens is when you encounter the Proverbs, it can come alive to you and speak to your situation in a way that no other book of wisdom can. And so Proverbs actually deals with the things of life that we care about, the stuff of life, wisdom and folly, pride and humility, love and lust, work and leisure, wealth and poverty, life and death. Like, this is not some boring book, okay? People who think the Bible is boring have never read the Bible before. It has got more drama, more violence, more sex than a lot of the shows that you binge watch on Netflix, okay? This book is like X-rated sometimes. And Proverbs, it's just wisdom, earthy wisdom that speaks to our everyday lives, people who had real experience. And it tells us how we can get the most out of life. See, there's one thing that every one of us have in common who are here today. You got up and you came to church the Sunday after Christmas. Like, we're here because we want God in our lives. We want the most out of life. We want to, as I said before, every one of us, we have aspirations of being healthy and happy and fulfilled and successful in this new year. And those are good things. I think God put those longings in our heart. And the people of God whose words are recorded in Proverbs, they had the same longings in their heart. And here's what they understood. Here's what they understood, the writers of the Proverbs, here's what they believed about the world, how they saw the world. They believed that God was the source of all wisdom. They believed that God was the source of all wisdom. And in a sense that wisdom was the blueprint of the universe, that God created the universe and to discover his ways, to understand how the world worked, to get the best out of life, to live your best life. Come on, that's like the phrase right now, right? Live your best life. To live hashtag your best life. They understood that you had to decipher this blueprint, that the God of all creation is a God of order and his fingerprints were on everything, and that he laid out the cosmos and the universe according to his wisdom. And so to discover wisdom was to live in harmony with the principles of God. To discover wisdom was to walk with the God of all creation. The more you discovered the wisdom of God, the more you understood life, and the greater your chances were to live a life of fulfillment, of happiness, of joy, of true satisfaction in life. That's what the writers of Proverbs understood. That's what you and me, we can discover when we open the Word of God, because you and me, we're faced with a lot of decisions, aren't we? We're faced with decisions every day. Decisions about our finances, decisions about our life, decisions about our family, decisions about our career, how to handle this situation, this project that I have to manage, this responsibility that I have to have. Doesn't it seem like sometimes like life is just problem management? Anybody discovered this? It's like problem management, isn't it? And the higher up you go in leadership, the further on you go in life, you get married, you have kids. I wish I could tell you it gets easier, but the problems keep coming and many of them are blessings. It's just that the flip side of those blessings are more problems that you have to sort out, more responsibilities. And we need wisdom, don't we? We need wisdom. Some of you, you're facing decisions at the beginning of this new year. There's some major decisions you have to make. You're in the middle of that right now. And so we need wisdom to be able to discern what's right. And training our minds in the Word of God, training our minds in a book like Proverbs, it actually helps you with discernment. Because here's the thing. I wish I could tell you that you could read Proverbs and it would be like a manual where you're like, okay, what do I do in this situation? And we just look up a glossary and we find it, you know, we search it and we find it in Proverbs. It doesn't quite work that way. No, it's actually better than that. A book like Proverbs trains your mind for discernment so that you can make the right decision in every situation. See, it doesn't tell you about every little thing that you got to do, but it begins to train your mind like there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, right? Like take care of your heart. Heed the instruction of wise people in your life. It begins to train your mind so that you can make the right decisions. You know, that's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is facts. Wisdom is knowing what to do with those facts, isn't it? Knowledge and wisdom, it's knowing what to do in every situation. I used to be a football coach. In football, we used to say you have to know the down and the distance. You got to know the situation. The great coaches that really separate themselves from the average coaches, they understand what to do in every situation. When to run, when to pass, when to play zone, when to play man. Like you got to be able to discern the down and the distance in your life. And so Proverbs helps train your mind for discernment. And it's the difference between wisdom and knowledge. For example, knowledge is we tell children when they're young, don't talk to strangers, right? Any of you were told that when you were a kid? Don't talk to strangers, anybody at all, right? Stranger danger. Don't talk to strangers. But as you get older, you learn you need to talk to some strangers, don't you? Now, this is New York City, all right? So there's a lot of strangers that you still need to avoid in the subway, on the streets of Manhattan, wherever, right? When you're going through Grand Central, yeah, just look ahead. Don't talk to them. Yeah, stranger danger. Don't talk to them. There's a lot of strangers you need to avoid. But wisdom is knowing which strangers you need to talk to. If you're in sales, you better get used to talking to some strangers or you're not going to have a job, right? You're going through a medical emergency. Yeah, you better be ready to talk to some strangers. You want to meet someone and find love? You better learn how to start with talking to strangers. Because everybody starts out as a stranger before you get to know them. You tracking with me this morning? It's the difference between knowledge and wisdom is discernment. And so we want to train our minds and our hearts at the beginning of this year to be people of discernment. Aren't you thankful for people like that? That when you go to them, like when you share your problem, they don't just rattle off an answer really quick, but they ask you really good questions. And they look at your issue and your problem from different angles. And because they got some experience, because they got some godly wisdom, they can help you discern, right? Because the answer is not always black and white, but sometimes you got to discern the wisdom for the situation. And Proverbs helps us do that. Okay, that's the what and that's the why. And now we're going to talk about the how. How we should read and pray based on the Proverbs, okay? I want to give you a really practical way of doing this. I actually taught this last year when we did our Psalm series. And it's the acronym SOAP. Everybody say SOAP. I don't want y'all falling asleep on me out there. SOAP, S-O-A-P. The S stands for scripture, okay? Put this in your notes. Scripture, begin with reading this scripture, whether it's a proverb or any scripture. This is a method you can use for any book of the Bible. I would encourage you pick an easy translation, a very readable translation. The NIV is a good place to start. I typically teach from the NIV. The NLT, New Living Translation, is another good translation that's very readable, okay? Use a Bible app. Use a paper Bible. Either one's great. I use the app sometimes, but there's nothing like holding a Bible in my hand and kind of knowing where the scripture is. But get a translation that you can read. The good thing about Proverbs is most Proverbs, if you're going to do a proverb a day, if you're new to reading the Bible or you need to dust off your Bible reading habit, this is going to be great for you because as we said before, 31 Proverbs, chapter a day, most Proverbs can easily be read in just a few minutes. And if you want to keep pushing on after that, go for it. But Proverbs is a great place to kind of find some motivation, to have some small victories. We're going to string some small victories together and get back in the habit of getting into God's word. Okay, so start with scripture. The O stands for observation. Okay? Maybe you want to read a proverb, first of all, just to simply read it. Then maybe you want to go back and read it with some observation. Reflect on what the verse means, what it might mean in its context, all right? So pay attention to the headings. A lot of times there's a heading before the proverbs that may give you some clue as to what the proverb is about. What is the proverb expressing, okay? Is it using poetry and symbolism? Why is this word chosen here? Why is this phrase important in this place? You want to read with some observation. Now, the proverbs are a little bit tricky because some chapters are like all kind of different thoughts strung together. They're just kind of proverbs that are random about different topics and subjects. But typically, when you use this SOAP method in Bible reading, especially like if you're reading the Gospels or the writings of Paul, there'll be kind of one thought in each chapter. Proverbs are a little different because it's multiple thoughts, but observation will still help you out, okay? Now, pay attention to the places that are tricky, that are hard to understand. If you really want to dig down deep, this is the year to invest in a study Bible. I would recommend the NIV Study Bible by Zondervan. It's a great place. I'm just giving you some practical stuff to help you this year, okay? If you're hitting some things, you're like, I'd really like to go a little bit deeper, understand this a little bit better. Well, this is your year. Invest in a good study Bible. All right, here's the next one. Is this helpful? Is this good? S-O-A is application, okay? We're doing the SOAP acronym here. Scripture, observation, application. What does this proverb mean to me? Remember, you can do this with any scripture that you'd read, but especially because we're starting off in Proverbs. What does this proverb mean for my life? Is there a verse that's particularly relevant to your life right now? Chew on it. Read it out loud. Meditate on it. Maybe you want to write a verse down. Put a note in your phone. Some people like to write a verse on a flashcard and carry it around with them. Read over this scripture and, you know, God, what are you saying to me? What's speaking to my life right now, to my particular situation from the wisdom of God's word? And here's another question to ask yourself. What difference would it make in my life if I believed this scripture with all of my heart? God, if I really believe you're speaking to me, what difference would it make in my life if I grabbed a hold of this scripture and believed it with all of my heart, if I applied it to my life? Some of you are journalers. This is a great year. We'll go buy you a new journal, okay? I know the girls like to get their gel pens out and have like a nice little fancy journal, but you know, guys, listen, journaling's great too. Some of my best messages and some of my best meditations have come out of times when I just grabbed a pen and started writing down some thoughts that came to me as I was reading God's word, not even preparing for a sermon, just reading my Bible. So write down some things that God might be speaking to you and what that proverb might mean for your life and what God's showing you. That's application. And then the P for SOAP, S-O-A-P, P is pray, okay? Pray the actual words of a proverb. You know, sometimes I pray scripture over my kids, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Lord, I'm going to trust in you with all of my heart, oh God, and lean not into my own understanding. God, in all of my ways, I want to acknowledge you, knowing that you will direct my path. Sometimes the best prayers you can pray are scripture. Just pray the word of God back to God. You'll know you're praying according to God's will. As you come across those different proverbs that speak to you, pray them back to God. There's something powerful that happens when you combine prayer and God's word. And then we're going to just dump fuel to the fire as we begin fasting next week. Pray a prayer that reflects the theme of the proverb. Maybe there's not just one verse, but there's an overall theme, you know, wisdom, sobriety, trust in God, avoiding pitfalls, working hard. Maybe there's some theme that comes to you from that proverb. Pray a prayer that expresses that theme back to God. Pray for wisdom. We're going to talk a lot about wisdom these next few weeks. Do you know there's one of the greatest promises in the Bible? It comes from the book of James, chapter 1, verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all. He gives generously to all. Like he doesn't play favorites. If you seek him, if you ask him for wisdom, it'll be given to you. That's a promise you can grab a hold of. Do you know I pray for wisdom on a regular basis? I'd take that promise to the bank. God, you said if I ask for wisdom, you're going to give it to me. As you're reading the book of Proverbs, if nothing else, our prayers, God, I want your wisdom in my life. God, I want to be a person of wisdom. God, I want to be a person of discernment. God, I want to be the kind of person who knows the right thing to do in every situation. God, I want to hear your voice. God, I want you to order my steps. God, I want your wisdom in my life. So as we close this out this morning, I want to ask you this morning, church, how many of you really want to grow spiritually this year? You don't have to raise your hands, but I hope deep in your heart, this is your heart's desire to grow spiritually. How many of you really just sense a need for God in your life, a need for His wisdom in your life, a need for God in your home, a need for God in your family? If you're married, a need for God in your marriage. If you're a parent, a need for God in the way you're parenting your kids. Come on, I believe you got up this morning. You came to church on the Sunday after Christmas because we're here because we want to know God. God, we want you in our life. God, this year, I want to walk more closely with you. God, I want to hear your voice. God, I want to know that you're alive and well and active in my life. God, I want you speaking to me. God, I've got some decisions to make this year. God, I've got some things I've got to do. And I want to know that you're with me, that you're guiding me. God, I want to love you. I want to love you better. God, I want to know you better and love you more. Isn't that our heart's desire? I'm telling you this morning at the brink of this new year, there's something inside of me. There's something inside of me that says, God, I cannot do this without you. God, I cannot do this without you. God, I've got to know you. God, I've got to know your presence in my life. God, I've got to know your presence in my church. God, I've got to know your presence in my ministry. God, I've got to know your presence in my marriage. God, I've got to know your presence in the way I'm raising these boys. There's something in my heart that longs for this. And this is what we're after, church. This is what we're after. Now imagine with me this time next year, being able to say, God, I'm closer to you. I'm closer to you than I was this time last year. Come on, imagine some breakthrough in your life. Imagine some discernment in your life. Imagine being a little bit deeper. Imagine having a little bit stronger basis. Come on, imagine your sources being a little bit better this year so that your decisions are a little bit better going into this next year. Come on, we gotta get a hold of this. This is our heart's desire. So why don't you stand with me? And we're going to pray. And you know, as we're on the brink of this new year, I just want to invite you to pray a simple prayer of commitment with me. If you want to, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and this is really your heart to grow closer to God. And here's our prayer. God, we want to prioritize your wisdom in our lives. It's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. It's the reverence of God. That's the beginning of knowledge. God, I want to make that the foundation of my thinking, the foundation of the way I see this world, the way I see this life, the decisions I make. God, to reprioritize. God, I choose to tune out the other voices. And yeah, there might even be some good voices. There's some good things we're going to read this year, some other training, some blogs, some articles. That's fine. But God, today we choose to prioritize the ancient, timeless, unsurpassable wisdom of your word, God. Because it's the reverence of God that's the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. We want to lay down a strong foundation. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you today for your great love for us. God, we thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that the scripture promises us that if we ask for wisdom, it's your desire to give wisdom, especially to your children. And God, here we are on the brink of this new year. And God, we're here today because we want to know you. God, we're here today because we want your presence in our lives. God, we're here today because we acknowledge that we need you. We need your grace. We need your spirit. We need your love. And God, we need your wisdom. And so, Lord, today we commit in our hearts to prioritize our spiritual growth this year. God, recognizing that everything that we have, every desire that we have that's good in our hearts can come to pass when we prioritize who you've called us to be, your people, God, your sons, your daughters. And God, we want your wisdom for this new year. We choose to prioritize the fear of the Lord, the reverence, God, of who you are. We recognize today that it's the beginning, it's the foundation, it's the genesis, it's the source above every other source. God, we make your voice, we make your word, we make your heart the greatest source of wisdom for our life today, God. We're after you today, God, to love you with everything we have, God, to know you better. And to love you more. Father, we thank you for it. Do it in your people. Speak to our hearts. And God, we anticipate the greatest year of our lives. We give you praise in Jesus' name. We anticipate you to do great things. Come on. God, we anticipate you to do good things in our lives this year in 2019 in Jesus' name. Can somebody say amen this morning?
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.